From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Shivakumar. Brother Shivakumar joined the Brindavan campus of Swami's College in 1982 for his pre-university program and completed his bachelor's degree and master's in business administration from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He was awarded the Sri Sathya Sai All-Rounder Award in 1987 and the Gold Medal for Academic Excellence in MBA in 1989. After completing his PhD in 1995, Swami blessed him with an opportunity to join as a faculty in the Department of Commerce of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Brother Shivakumar is also a key member of the Vedam group and actively teaches Vedam to the students of the university, and currently he is the head of Department of Management and Commerce in the Brindavan campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And this talk, titled Unusual Blessings, the Master Plan, was delivered in Dharmakshetra, Mumbai, as a part of the Samarpan series on the 25th of November 2018. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. And with that, over to Dr. Shivakumar.
I offer my most prayerful pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, respected elders, dear sisters and brothers. It is indeed a great opportunity as well as an extraordinary blessing for me to be present here in Dharmakshetra. Close to 20 years since the first time I got the opportunity, blessing to be in Dharmakshetra along with Bhagwan as a part of the Bhajagovindam drama group. And it's a very great blessing, especially to share one's very sweet and divine memories and experiences with Bhagwan, especially what simple, nice lessons we can learn from them. One of the most interesting things, wonderful things that I have learned from my association with the Sai institutions and the Sai mission has been that Swami guides everything. Most of the times we plan and we feel that things are going according to how we have planned, and we feel very happy. However, there are interesting situations which I would like to talk about today, where things don't happen necessarily according to what we think or what we expect things to happen in some particular way. Yet, we find sometimes in hindsight, sometimes as the events unfold, that the master planner has taken over and things are happening according to his master plan. Today, I would like to title this Samarpan talk of mine as Unusual Blessings, the Master Plan. And let me share a few of those unusual blessings where in all these cases, one thing that I understood was that the Master Plan worked perfectly. The first situation, Swami wanted to call us to Prashanti Nilayam, to his lotus feet, To call us to Prashanti Nilayam, Swami sent our family to the United States of America. And then from United States of America, he called us to Prashanti Nilayam. How it happened was a very wonderful story. It happened this way. I was born in the year 1967. My sister, who is seated here, 3 years elder to me, and very soon after I was born, my father got an opportunity to go to the United States. That was in the year 1967. However, I'm sure if I ask now, how many of you in there is some relation, brother, cousin, some relation of yours who's either settled or working in United States or some foreign country? I'm sure many of you would be raising your hands. Let me see how many of you would like to raise your hands. Somewhere. It's a very, quite a decent number. With the IT revolution happening, it's surely a very decent number. I'm talking of the year 1967. People going abroad and people going to the United States was very, very uncommon. My father finished his MSc from the CFTRI, Central Food Technological Research Institute in Mysore, and he got this nice opportunity of going to the United States for pursuing his PhD from the University of Nebraska. I was just born, just a few months old, and therefore after my father left, possibly within a few months, myself and my mother, we went to the US to accompany, to be with him. My sister was little less fortunate. She was by then 3 years old. She was made to stay back in India. And so we went to America. I personally don't remember anything of what happened. That was the first 4 years of my life. I don't remember anything that happened during those times. My father finished his PhD by the year 1970-71. And his was a very, very good thesis, especially in the area of food science. And within no time, after he finished his PhD from the University of Nebraska, he got a very lucrative position in NASA as a part of the food science, as a food scientist, as a part of the aerospace program. And he was thinking that he is going to join. And for that purpose, he had to require a relieving letter from the University of Nebraska. His PhD guide was another scientist. He was also of a person of Indian origin. He was so much happy with my father's work that he wanted my father to continue only in the university. He didn't want him to go to the aerospace program. And that guide of my father refused to give a relieving order from the university. And my father lost the opportunity of joining NASA as a food scientist. My father was crestfallen. However, in hindsight today, we know that these were all the master plans. Swami was moving the coins on the chessboard so that he sent us to United States so that we will in turn come back to Prashanti Nilayam. So he was crestfallen. He tried for other jobs in United States because he was not interested in working under that professor who had refused him to be relieved. He did not get any job in the United States. He tried other countries, Japan, Australia, UK. Nowhere he got a job. And as Shirdi Baba would tell, you are all like that sparrow. One of your legs has been tied a thread, and the thread may be as long as possible, but the other end of the thread is in my hand. You may fly wherever you want, but if I start pulling the thread slowly, ultimately you will come and reach me. So that is how it happened. Swami started pulling the thread, and my father, without any other job opportunity, at the end decided, okay, come, let us go back to India. So in the year 1971, my father and myself, my mother, we all came back to India, and along with my sister, we all settled down in a place called Bareilly, close to Delhi. Just like to tell you all, this is different from the very famous place, now famous place called Rai Bareilly. It's not Rai Bareilly, it's another place just called Bareilly, close to Delhi. My father got a much lower position compared to his PhD degree from that too from the United States, but he had no other choice at that time. He took up that job, and it was there in Bareilly Swami made his entry into our family again in some dramatic manner. In that place in Bareilly, there was a captain from the Air Force who was a Swami's devotee, and he was a friend of my father. And on one particular day, he gave to my father the first volume of Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Until then, none of us in our family had known about Swami, and my father took that book. He was so happy reading that book, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, that he very quickly finished it. He was feeling that something nice is happening to him. In that particular book, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, one of the very beautiful descriptions that Professor Kasturi gives is that of the Dasara happenings, especially in the late 1940s and early 1950s. In those times, during the Dasara, there would not be any yajnam as it is happening nowadays. Instead, in those times, there would be a Pallaki procession in which Swami would be made to sit in a palanquin, which would be decorated in different forms every day. On one day it would be like a hamsa, on another day the Pallaki would be made to look like a lotus, etc. The devotees would take Swami across the entire village of Puttaparthi, and Swami would come back to earlier Pathamandiram, and initially 1950 Swami would be brought back to Prashanti Nilayam, because Prashanti Nilayam itself was inaugurated in the year 1950. My father had read this particular incident, but he was even more enamored by one more happening during those times. In those times, when Swami would be taken by the palanquin, devotees would see from Swami's forehead kumkum would actually emerge and it would be falling. On some days it would be one side kumkum, one side vibhuti. But even more miraculous would be, Swami, near Swami there would be kept lot of baskets of flowers. Swami would take these flowers and as a blessing throw it on devotees. And these flowers, miraculously, when they would actually fall on the devotees, they would fall as coins, gold or silver coins. On one side would be Shirdi Baba's face, on another side would be Balaji Venkateshwara or Durga Mata. It would be such type of very beautiful coins, which actually the flowers had been converted into coins, and that would be the blessings. Devotees would hold them as Swami's blessings. Interestingly, this captain of the Air Force who gave the book Satyam Shivam Sundaram to my father, he also had one such coin. And my father saw that coin. He was very much interested. And just like a small challenge to Swami, he told Swami within himself, Swami, if I also get one such coin, not only myself, but my entire family, we would come into your fold and we will feel extremely blessed. The prayer that my father was making was related to an event which Swami stopped in 1950. And my father made that prayer more than 20 years after that event had stopped. So it was Swami's way of ensuring that we would get into his fold and Swami would enter our lives. In Bareilly, there were very few South Indian families. And in order to get an opportunity so that they will all congregate together, the South Indian families of Bareilly decided that they would construct a temple of Balaji Venkateshwara Swami. So they all pooled their own funds, found a small place, and they constructed a small temple for Venkateshwara Swami. And there was a wonderful Kumbhabhishekam of that. The temple was open. They suddenly found that there was no South Indian priest for that particular temple. So they only could find a North Indian priest who would come and do the pujas. But however, the South Indian families felt that the North Indian priest was doing the puja the way he wanted, which was not similar to the South Indian paddhati. So they requested my father, and incidentally, we had that wonderful blessing that our family was indeed steeped in Indian culture. Vedam chanting, stotram chanting was all part of our regular routine. When we were all school children, it would just happen daily. I remember my grandfather doing daily Shiva Puja. So it was all not something unusual. So the South Indian families, they requested my father that when the priest is doing the puja there in the temple, they had requested my father that you please go and assist him so that you would chant the mantrams the way it is done in South India and the priest would do the puja. It was all happening nicely. And at the end of the puja, the priest would always do the Mangalarti and come and show it to all the devotees. And as it happens in many temples, devotees, when they take the Mangalarti, they would also put some offering for the on that plate and all those things. And normally the rule in all temples is that whatever offerings are made in the plate goes towards the maintenance of the priest. Whatever offerings are made in the hundi in the temple goes towards the maintenance of the temple. That is the normal practice in all the temples. So the priest would always take his offerings, and my father would wait for him to close the temple at the end. And on one particular day, the priest, as he was taking his offerings, he told, Kali Yuga has started, people have started cheating even God. My father was surprised, why should be people cheating God? He gave one coin to my father, told, see, some counterfeit coin is there, no use for this coin, you keep it with you. My father saw that coin and literally started crying, because it was exactly the same type of coin. On one side was Shirdi Baba, on the other side was Balaji Venkateshwara Swami. Exactly that coin which he had told Swami, if I get one such coin, our family will also get into your fold. My father was surprised because he was not sure if somebody by mistake had dropped that coin. So he actually went to that captain and asked him, do you continue to have the coin? He had it. My father literally knew everyone who had come to the temple that day. He went and asked everyone, by mistake did you drop such a coin? None of them had dropped any such coin. And my father knew that this was the call of Bhagavan. And since that time, which was in the year 1972, around that time, our family came into Swami's fold. Swami entered our family. Very shortly, possibly in the year 1974-75, my father got a much better job down south in a place called Coimbatore, where I completed till my 10th class. And it was in Coimbatore, which was actually at that time, lots of Sai activities would go on because Swami had visited Coimbatore several times. And our home also, after a few years, we had bhajans at our home. Bal Vikas classes would happen at our home. And for us, especially for me, it used to be that Bal Vikas, bhajans, all those things were part of our regular routine at Coimbatore. So, when I completed my 10th class, It was not a choice whether I will join for my 11th class in Coimbatore or whether I will join Swami school. It was not that type of choice. The choice was whether I will join for my 11th class at Brindavan or whether I will join for my 11th class at Prashantinilayam. It was only that choice. It was no choice of joining at Coimbatore at all. So, I applied for both Prashantinilayam and Brindavan. It was again Swami's very wonderful plan that I should get into Brindavan for the simple reason. I got the admission letter from both, but I got the admission letter to join Brindavan 3 days before it. Admission letter came from Prashantinilayam, that's all. So, joined Brindavan, and that very same year, in the year 1982, my sister also got the very wonderful blessing of joining the Anantapur campus. I joined for my 11th class and she joined for the BSc, being the very first batch of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And it was a wonderful journey since then. We were very, very blessed. It was in the year 1995, my parents again got the wonderful opportunity of coming and settling down in Prashantinilayam itself after my father's retirement. And my father got the wonderful opportunity of serving in the higher secondary school hostel at Prashantinilayam for close to more than a decade as the mess in charge. My father retired as a professor of food science, and when he came and settled down at Prashantinilayam, he prayed to Swami for some service opportunity. Swami asked, "What were you?" Told Swami, "I retired as a food science professor." Swami told, "Become the mess in charge of the school boys hostel," which was inaugurated and started for the boys in the year 1995. So for more than a decade, he was the mess in charge, and everything went on so well. How a very unusual blessing of sending us to America became a wonderful blessing of coming and settling down in Prashantinilayam. Only Swami can do this. If we feel that things are happening according to our plan, surely it's all fine. But whenever we feel things are not happening according to our plan, be sure the master plan is working. Let me just go and narrate a few more very interesting incidents that happened. And these are not in any chronological order as such. These are all happened at different points of time, but very, very unusual blessings is the master plan happening. This particular incident happened in Kodaikanal. So just imagine a person has a cough, cold, some such type of problem, asthma. He goes to a doctor. Normally, we expect the doctor to check his ability, breathing, we check his pulse, check his blood pressure, check his breathing ability, check whether he has, what is the level of cough, cold, do some blood tests, and give the appropriate medicine. Imagine for a moment, you go to a doctor, and the doctor, you tell, cough, cold, breathing problem. The doctor sees you and tells, "Chi, why did you come to me?" We automatically think, why did we ever go to that doctor? Interestingly, it happened like this. I did have some breathing problems when I used to be studying in Brindavan campus. It used to get aggravated even after going to Prashantinilayam. And Swami, as a part, when I was just finished my first MBA, the entire class of first MBA, I was in the second batch of MBA, the entire class of the first MBA group, Swami had taken to Prashantinilayam. And except for one student who had breathing problem, Swami told, "Kodaikanal is a bit cold place, don't come." So he had not come, and along with him who had breathing problem, I was another person who had breathing problem. There were two, three of more class, my classmates who had this asthmatic problem, few of us. And we were all there in Kodaikanal. On one day, Swami was talking to us very nicely. And as it was cold, suddenly, out of nowhere, I started coughing quite heavily. So, I was struggling to breathe. And with lots of, prayer in my eyes, I was seeing Swami because I was thinking Swami would call me near to Him, create some vibhuti, bless me nicely, so that everything would be fine. Swami saw me coughing nicely, saw towards me and told, "Chi, shut up. You feel that you want to get nice vibhuti blessings and suddenly Swami tells, Chi, shut up." Anyway, I knew that coughing was not intentional at that time. I didn't have any control over that coughing. So therefore, I kept quiet. A few days passed. There was no issues at all. After that particular incident, it was almost close to 35 days we were there in Kodaikanal. In fact, I had totally forgotten this incident also. We stayed with Bhagavan. And the beautiful part of Kodaikanal is that if less than half a quarter of this hall would be the place where we would all be staying. In one corner was Swami's room. So it is in this same hall. One corner is Swami's room. The remaining place we all would stay. And that was for 35 days. Stayed with Bhagavan. And then had very wonderful session and time with Bhagavan at Kodaikanal. As soon as we came back from Kodaikanal, we were asked to go, and this happened only for the first two batches. We were all put in some companies and factories in Bangalore, and we were all asked to go and do a small internship in those companies. And every day I had to travel close to some 30 kilometers through the smoke and pollution of Bangalore and go and come back. Everything happened very nicely. And after the entire internship project work got over, suddenly, on one particular day, myself and my classmate brother, we were all talking, and suddenly that boy told, "Since the last 2 months or so, I have not faced this asthma problem at all." At that time, it stuck to me also. For the last 2 months, I had also not had the asthma problem at all. Completely not there at all. I asked my other classmates, another 2-3 of them. All of them told, last 2 months was very, very, very comfortable. No asthma problem at all. It was in that hindsight, we realized that when I was coughing and when I was actually expecting Swami to give nice vibhuti prasadam and bless me, Swami told chi. It was not Swami telling chi to me, it was Swami telling chi to that particular breathing asthma problem, which left us and made us our next 2 months plus more very, very, very comfortable. I did go back to Prashant Nilayam, and there was asthma problem afterwards. But once I remember when I was admitted in the hospital, when Swami came, I thought again this nice blessing would be there. Swami came and I was there praying to Swami, "Swami, asthma problem, I have been admitted in hospital." Swami gave a very wonderful, unique blessing. Swami told, "Learn to live with this. This is your family property." So, of course, after that, nowadays I don't get any serious asthmatic conditions. Okay, it's been very, very comfortable. But take it as some very unique, unusual blessing of Bhagavan. The next very nice story that I would like to narrate of how the master takes over happened here at Dharmakshetra. Again, this was in the year 1988. Let me give you a small background to this story so that I will be able to narrate how I fitted into the entire scheme of things. In the year 1988, Swami decided as a part of the university, there would be a very grand Vice Chancellor's Conference at Prashanti Nilayam. So the Vice Chancellors of all the major universities were called to Prashanti Nilayam, and there was supposed to be a 2 or 3 day conference on human values in education. So there was a conference. As a part of that conference, Swami wanted to especially project the research activities that were happening in the university. Close to around 70 students who were involved in doing research at that time in the university, and Swami had instructed some of the research students that we would have the research scholars putting up the drama Bajagovindam, which was originally inspired by Bhagavan, and that drama had been put several times before Swami. It was an evergreen drama which Swami would always like to be put up. So Swami had asked a few of the PhD students, senior people, to coordinate among the PhD scholars, and Swami had told them, see, just find out the script, write down who are all the various characters in that particular drama, and identify the PhD student who would be most appropriate for that particular drama, that particular character. So the students had made that entire list, and they had taken it to Swami inside the interview room, and they were about to start reading that list of PhD scholars who were to take different roles in that particular drama. Very interestingly, even before that list was started to be read, Swami told, there is one particular character of a grammarian who comes in the very first scene. He is called as the Dukrum Karane grammarian. Don't allocate anyone for that role. They had already put someone. Swami told, don't allocate anyone for that role. I have one student for that particular role. It so happened that the previous year, as a part of the convocation drama, Swami had told Brindavan students to be ready. So in the year of 1986 convocation time, we had put up the same Bajagovindam drama at Prashanti Nilayam just after the convocation. So Swami told, the next year, in the year 1987, I was there at Prashanti Nilayam for my MBA course, and in that year Swami had arranged for this conference. Swami told, for this particular role, this grammarian role, that student who acted last year from Vrindavan has come this year for MBA at Prashanti Nilayam. Put him only in that role. I was not even a PhD scholar. I had just joined MBA. And so I got that blessing to be a part of that Bajagovindam drama, which was mainly by PhD scholars, and we had put up the drama in Prashanti Nilayam. I remember Swami would literally come almost daily for seeing the rehearsals. We would be very happy performing the rehearsals. I very clearly remember one particular dialogue wherein I would be reciting, as a part of the drama, I would be reciting some grammar rules, and one more friend of mine would come and tell, oh Shastriji, why don't you join us, can come to the Shiva temple, today is the sacred Ekadashi day. That's what he would tell, and immediately my response would be, because I would believe more in grammar rather than Ekadashi puja, and my response had to be Ekadashi, and Swami would feel very happy hearing that. And my action would be, I remember at that time, action would be Ekadasi. It went on, and after the drama at Prashanthi Nilayam. There was arrangements made in the year 1988, March time, that the drama would be come, will be put up at Mumbai also, Shanmukananda Hall. So, I don't remember exactly which day it was done here in Mumbai. I remember it was in the month of March, around that time. So, we were all there, and we went to the Shanmukananda Hall to practice. We all practiced, and Swami was there for the practice session. I remember, after finishing my practice, I went and told Swami, your blessings that we are able to do the drama well. Swami, I was thinking that Swami will bless me nicely. Yes, you are performing well. Before I could even think of what's going to next happen, Swami told, not at all good acting. I was thinking that Swami will pat me and tell, good acting. I told, not at all good acting. Ekadasi is not good. The very next day was the performance. And I was thinking, how is it that how should we be able to do that? So the next day, when we actually did the official program in Shanmukananda Hall, it was with Swami's inspiration that I just changed the action. Instead of telling Ekadasi, I remember doing Ekadasi. Just I changed my action, that's all. We finished the drama and came to Dharmakshetra. We were all seated with Swami in Satyadeep. Before anybody's reaction could happen, Swami immediately pointed to me, excellent acting. The only thing that I had done was, instead of showing hand like this, I had shown hand like this, that's all. Nothing else. And it pleased Swami so much. First day I was expecting a pat. Nothing happened. It was unusual. Swami told not good. The next day I was not expecting anything at all, because I was not even sure this is what Swami actually wanted, but he had inspired me. And even before I expected, Swami told, excellent, very good. When the master planner takes over, it just cannot be good. It has to be necessarily the best, the very good. And it was Swami who had taken over at that particular moment, and he ensured that things happened perfectly. This incident I recollect because, the next one that I am going to tell, because it just boosted my self-confidence in a very extraordinary way. I was introduced to you all that I do chant Vedam. I even to this day I teach Vedam for students. As I told you that our family, Vedam chanting was very, very common. And one particular aspect because of that Vedam chanting has been that I had, possibly with Swami's blessings, I continue to have a very, very good memory. What it means is that even to this day I can chant Vedam for a few hours without referring to any book. I can keep on chanting because it becomes a part of my memory. And if I read through a few pages, I would be able to repeat every single word of that page without any problem after a little few times of practice. So, in Vrindavan, and this happened in the year, if I am right, in the year 1989, I was about to complete my MBA. And Swami was in Vrindavan, and we were all there during holidays. And one very nice thing is Swami would call students to give talks in front of him. So I had prepared one talk. The talk was on the topic, living with God is true education, living for God is true service, and living in God is true spirituality. This was the topic that I had prepared. I had written some 3-4 pages of my talk, some stories and all those things. And I had memorized it like Rudram. So if it is like Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya, Om Namaste Rudra Manyavuto Deshanama, or the I offer my prayerful pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet, respected teachers. Every single word from the beginning to the end, I had memorized with the appropriate intonation, with the appropriate accent in which it had to be told. Swami called me one day and I got that very, very wonderful opportunity inside Trayi Brindavan. Swami was seated in the jhula, and next to standing to the jhula, just like Rudram, I just memorized, and like a parrot, I completed my entire speech. Swami was very happy with the speech. Swami blessed me very nicely. But however, it was me and Swami who knew that that speech was a totally memorized speech from word one till the last word. So, because Swami was very happy, I knew that Swami may possibly call me once again to give another speech. So, this time I wrote 4 to 5 pages on the topic patriotism, Desha Bhakti. And 4 to 5 pages, I memorized it. Just to give you in computer parlance, the previous speech on living with God through education, alt delete, so that it goes totally out of the memory, and save as this particular speech. This particular speech was completely there. If anybody had asked me even in sleep, come on, start speaking, I will just get up and I would be able to recite the next speech for 10 minutes, 15 minutes without any problem. I was so confident of speaking. A few days later, Swami had organized a program in the Kalyana Mantapam at Brindavan. So we were all seated there and Swami came. And as Swami was entering the Kalyana Mantapam, Swami saw me for a moment and did like this, a very small action, asking, "Are you ready?" And I also made the action very nicely, "Surely ready," because my speech is full of patriotism. I am ready to speak on patriotism. So after a few minutes, Swami called me and I went to take namaskar, and then came the bolt from the blue, unusual blessing, absolutely unexpected. Swami told, "3 days back, you spoke in Trayi Brindavan. That speech was very nice. Only thing, the audience is very different today. Speak the same thing." As I had told you in computer parlance, I had put shift delete so that it will not even be there in my memory. And it was a shock for me. I had to literally retrieve back that from wherever it was. And Swami put the next command. But some of the people who are there, who were there in Trayi 3 days back, they are also there here. So make some changes also to the speech. Not only repeat that speech, but change the speech also. Now, it was almost like a difficult job for me. It would have been extremely easy at that moment to surely speak 10-15 minutes on patriotism or chant Rudram also. Nothing would have been as difficult as retrieving back that old speech and speaking. But again, with Swami's blessings, that I did manage to speak, and Swami inspired me to change one of the stories in between. I did that. Swami was very happy again. Swami blessed me, and Swami also told, "I know you have changed this particular story also." Everything went off well, but as I finished the talk, and then I was ruminating over it, it was not the speech as such which was the important thing. What was most important was, Swami was boosting my confidence. Swami wanted me to be a good speaker. Swami didn't want me to be a good memory chanter of whatever 4 or 5 pages that I have written. Swami didn't want me to be that. Swami wanted me to speak out of my heart. That is far more important than what I had memorized in my head. Swami wanted me to speak out of my heart. It was that wonderful confidence boost that I got on that particular day. And even to this day, I am very confident of speaking because of that confidence boost. But the most important thing is, I now realize that when we speak out of the heart, that is what really goes and touches the audience. Not what is our great scholarly views that we have. That does not go and touch the audience. What really goes and touch the audience is that what we speak out of our own feelings and bhavam. So again, a very unusual blessing that I got. Many of my students are seated here, and for many years I have taught marketing as one of the subjects. Many students would tell, sir, that we also, that was our also one nice subject that we have heard from you. One of the basic concepts of marketing we all know is how we can satisfy a customer. After all, the purpose of marketing is to have a satisfied customer. And Swami gave me this very beautiful strength and blessing for me in this particular incident that I am going to narrate now. This happened possibly in the year 1985-86. I was doing my BCom at Vrindavan. And one day, Swami came near me and wanted to speak to me. So I just knelt down and came this very interesting question from Swami. So if some of you have heard about this particular incident, I have told it in many forums. So if you heard about this incident, let us enjoy it once again. So Swami asked me, who are you? Now, I knew from my senior's experience that this is one of the trickiest questions that Swami can ask. Who are you? Because I have heard my seniors telling the same question Swami asked to many of the seniors. So there was one senior who had replied at that time, Swami, I am your child. Swami blessed him nicely. Another senior who wanted to slightly do a better job told Swami, I am your servant. Again, Swami blessed him nicely. One more student who wanted to do even better and told Swami, I and you are one. And we all possibly know what Swami told. If that is the case, I and you are one, today I will take rest. You go and give darshan to people and come. We all know that story. And I had heard this story several times, and here was my turn. Swami asked me, who are you? And I really did not want to make any guess, because anything could be problematic. So I just kept silent. And then again Swami asked me, who are you? I kept silent, doggedly silent. And then Swami told, do you know who you are? I was thinking, okay, let Swami himself tell. That becomes, the work becomes easier. And then came that very beautiful blessing, because in hindsight it's an extraordinary blessing. But at that moment it was again a great, great, great surprise. Swami asked, do you know who you are? I saw. And then Swami told, you are Shakuni. And walked away, that's all. You are Shakuni and walked away. I also smiled. I did not really understand why should Swami call me Shakuni. There are so many nice characters in Mahabharata. Of all people, why should Swami select Shakuni? However, I did not really take this incident seriously at all. One more Swami's Leela, I thought. But much, much later, this must be at least 10 to 15 years later after that incident happened, on one particular day, I realized that we could not get any other better blessing than this. And it happened this way. Swami had called all the students to Purnachandra Auditorium. Very rarely we get this very nice opportunity of seeing films with Swami. And on that day, we got this wonderful opportunity of seeing a film with Swami. Many of the elderly people here would know this is a very classic film. The young generation may not even know about this film. It's a classic film of the 1960s. The name of the film is called Maya Bazaar. The Telugu film, it was also dubbed into Tamil. It's a Maya Bazaar. Its entire story is based on the Mahabharata. It's a classic film of the 1960s. Swami knew this story so well. Swami would enjoy seeing this Maya Bazaar again and again. Swami would know the dialogues also, because it would all that padyams and all, they would all sing regularly, and Swami would also actually join with them when it was happening. So on one particular day, we were all seated with Swami to see this film Maya Bazaar in Poonachandra. I was seated far away. I was never close to Swami, but during the film I got this wonderful revelation. One of the incidents in that film is Lord Krishna had returned to Dwaraka from Hastinapura, and as a parting gift, the Pandavas had given a gift to Lord Krishna which he had brought to Dwaraka. So all the people in Dwaraka were wanting to see that particular gift of Krishna. Krishna opened that gift and it was a mirror. But Krishna told, this is no ordinary mirror, this is a magic mirror. And what is the magical quality of that mirror is that if you stand in front of the mirror, you will not be able to see your reflection. Instead, you will see the reflection of some things or people whom you like the most. That was the beautiful magical quality of that mirror. So Satyabhama comes and stands in front of the mirror, sees all gold, jewelry, because that was what, as per the Mahabharata, she liked all that. Balarama would come and stand in front of the mirror and he would see Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was the prime Shishya, student of Balarama. Balarama taught mace fighting to Duryodhana. Then Rukmini comes and stands in front of the mirror and Krishna is seen in that particular mirror. Everybody is very eager and they all tells Krishna, you should now come and stand in front of this mirror. Krishna tells, I will come and stand, but you all should not be surprised. No problem, Krishna, please come and stand in front of the mirror. And remember, the mirror's quality is that it will show who that person likes the most. Krishna comes and stands in front of the mirror and Shakuni is seen in the mirror. As per the story, of course, is that Shakuni, if people who have read Mahabharata in depth would actually know, Shakuni was actually working for the cause of Lord Krishna. If you know the story in depth, okay, it looks as if Shakuni is working towards the betterment of the Kauravas, but actually is working towards the betterment of Pandavas and for helping Krishna. When I saw that scene, I was taken 15 years back and I realized Swami told me, do you know who are you? You are Shakuni. I told Swami, thank you so much for blessing me to be Shakuni, because Shakuni is the most liked person of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is our Satya Sai. So if Shakuni is the most liked person of Lord Krishna, Swami told, I am Shakuni. I felt so happy. Swami, I am liked by you the most. Swami, what other extraordinary blessing we can have. I had taught marketing, customer satisfaction. But at that particular moment, I realized that, yes, here I was there providing Bhagavan that satisfaction, yes, in some way or another. It was a very beautiful moment that I had, where Swami blessed me to be that Shakuni. I remember this very interesting incident, again happened in Vrindavan. It happened very soon after we were practicing for the Bhajagovind in drama, which we had put as a part of the Vrindavan students in the year 1986. We all had stayed back for the holidays because Swami had told all those who are part of the drama will stay back during holidays and practice for the drama. So we all had stayed back. Swami was there. And Swami told, during holidays, one particular day, I will give all of you a nice dinner. So there were only a few of us, possibly some 50-60 of us, who had stayed back for holidays for practicing in the drama. And Swami had arranged for a very wonderful dinner. Swami had called cooks from Bangalore city to make special dishes for all of us. Swami had also called a few guests. So all of us were made to sit in the hostel dining hall at Vrindavan. We were all served. Swami also was served. All those who have seen Swami would hardly eat anything. But Swami ate for just a few moments, and then Swami's duty would be to just fill all of us. So I knew Swami was walking in a row behind me, somewhere behind me. So I was casually eating the food that was there in my plate. I knew Swami would come in front of me also, and he would see me eating and all that. I was very confident Swami would come in front of me, that is row where I was eating, he would come and bless me nicely. So we were all expecting that usual blessing, and the unusual thing always happens because he is the master planner. As I was eating food, suddenly I found somebody had just kicked me from behind. It was a nice kick at the bottom of my spine. Nice kick. Somebody gave. Immediately I got a surprise. I turned behind. Swami had just kicked me. And it was a very interesting opportunity, blessing. We never know why Swami, even to this day, I don't know why Swami kicked me, but I knew it's an unusual blessing, because whenever we talk of blessing, we only talk of Abhaya Hastam. We don't talk of, and for me it was Abhaya Padam. Not Abhaya Hastam, Abhaya Padam blessings. Because instead of using his nice hands to bless me, he kicked me nicely and blessed me. Even to this day, I feel that happiness, that very unusual blessing. There was this very interesting incident which happened. This happened after my marriage. It happened possibly in the year 1999. My wife is there sitting here. She was also a part of this grand story. So, when in the year 1998 or so, one of the offers that was told to us was that there is a house available, a flat available somewhere in the third or fourth floor. Only thing is, doesn't have a lift as such. Third or fourth floor, there is a flat available. The builder took us to that flat, and we were immediately attracted to that flat for purchase, because the beauty of that flat was that from the balcony of that flat, you could directly see Trayi Vrindavan. You didn't even have to go for darshan. You just have to come and stand in the balcony. You can actually see Swami coming out and going for darshans. It was such an attractive proposition. So both of us were interested. We thought we'll take Swami's blessings before we go in for further details or purchasing. And so we all, both of us decided this way. What we thought was, both of us wrote exactly identical letters. She wrote and I wrote, exactly the wordings were exactly identical. And we had also written, we had written details of that particular flat, and we had also written this extra paragraph telling that Swami, on the same darshan session, both of us will hold the letters. If you take letter from both of us during the same darshan session, we will take it as your blessings to go ahead and purchase that flat. So both of us had written, and she was sitting on the lady's side. I was there on the gent's side. Swami came to Ramesh Hall at Vrindavan. I was very eagerly watching towards her side. Swami came and very nicely took that letter from her. Thought, Swami, 50% clearance is over. You just only have to come and take the letter from me. 100% blessings are there. So Swami came near me, and I showed the letter. Swami took the letter from me. I thought, 100% blessings are there, very nice. I was just thinking a moment. Swami walked two steps ahead, turned towards me, and see this very unusual blessing, turned towards me and in Telugu told, Dunapota. Dunapota means he buffalo. Dunapota threw back that letter at me and went away. He took the letter from me, walked two steps, told Dunapota, threw back that letter at me and went away. So the condition was not really fulfilled in terms of Swami taking the letter, so we did not go ahead and purchase that house. But now, see the enormous blessings. Had we gone and purchased that house at that time with the interesting idea that the view from the balcony would be Trayi Brindavan, possibly 10 years or 15 years down the line, there is no view of Trayi Brindavan. A huge bridge has been constructed in between. There is only a view of the bridge there. There is no view of Trayi Brindavan. The more interesting thing is the bridge comes to the height of that balcony. So all the pollution directly comes into that home of the buses and all the vehicles directly come into that home. And even more was that both of us were young at that time. We were thinking that our parents would come and settle down. Imagine elderly parents walking four stories up, no lift at all. It wouldn't have happened at all. How Swami gave a very unusual blessing of throwing back that letter at me and ensuring that everything would happen according to his master plan. That's what I would like to keep that in. This particular incident happened in the year 1989. After my MBA, Swami had asked me to join for the PhD. And Swami told, initially few months, Swami told, don't join the hostel, be in the East Prashanti, which was considered to be the, currently it's the Brindavan Students Hostel. In those days it used to be even called Old Students Hostel. So Swami told, stay there until your PhD, all the formalities get settled. So, and Swami also told, now you have joined for PhD, you should no more be dependent on your parents. You should become independent. So in the month of June, Swami asked me to join for the PhD. On June 30th, the last day, Swami called me into the interview room and told, gave me a small packet which contained some money, and Swami told, use this money for your maintenance and your managing for your food for the coming month of July. So everything went on very smoothly. I was very happy. Swami personally gave money, so I was able to manage. There was no problems at all. July 31st came. Again, I was waiting. Swami did call me nicely, and Swami gave me one more packet and told, use this money, okay, for your maintenance. And during the month of August, midway through August, Swami told me to go and join the hostel. So I joined the hostel. One big advantage is you didn't have to worry about buying coupons on a daily basis. Until then, I had to be there in the East Prashanti. You had to buy coupons for canteen. Once you join hostel, there's nothing to worry about buying coupons. But still, the mind was telling, August 31st is there. Swami will once again call, give money to you so that you can do the use it for your upkeep. August 31st came, nothing happened. So Swami will take care. September 30th came. I thought, okay, something could happen possibly on that. I was very eagerly thinking. On September 30th of 1989 happened to be a Sunday. So Sunday mornings, normally students would go for darshan. I attended Suprabhatam, and between Suprabhatam and darshan time with breakfast, there was a short gap of some 15-20 minutes. I just closed my eyes at that time, and possibly somewhere around morning 5:45, 6 o'clock, as I had closed my eyes, I had a very beautiful dream. In the dream, Swami came near me and asked, how are you managing your money? Outwardly, because lots of people are standing in the dream, outwardly, I told Swami, Swami, you know everything. You are taking care. But inwardly, I was telling Swami, because it was only within the dream, I was telling myself in the dream, Swami, on June 30th, you gave me a packet of money. On July 31st, you gave a packet of money. August 31st came, nothing happened. Today is September 30th. Please do something. But again, Swami asks me in the dream. Outwardly, I told Swami, Swami, you know everything. You are taking care. The dream got over. Went for morning darshan. Swami came near me. Very intently, Swami saw me and went away. That's all. Nothing happened. I came back to the hostel after morning program, bhajans. Very shortly, around morning 10 o'clock or so, the warden called me. And the warden called me and gave me a slip, okay, a receipt, and told me that morning on September 30th, Swami had called the warden into the interview room. Swami gave warden the money. And Swami told the warden, go and tell Shivakumar. On June 30th, I gave him money. On July 31st, I gave him money. On August, I did not give him any money. On September, now I am giving the money to you. Tell him that this hostel mess bill has been paid. It is not for the month of September. It is for the month of August, because I did not give him money. It is for the month of August. Tell him that I have paid the mess bill. How much Swami takes care of us. It looks like in the dream, we feel that we have told something, but Swami reflects the same thing in a very, very beautiful way, his own master plan unfolding at every moment. This was a very interesting incident that happened, again possibly in the year 92 or so. It was decided that the teachers and the research scholars, one of the days during the month of January, would have a drama and a music program so that we would get some blessing from Bhagavan. So therefore, it was decided that a few teachers and students, research scholars, would put up a drama. By then I was a research scholar, so I was a part of the drama. This drama was again a chinnakatha. Let me just tell the story so it becomes easy to understand the context in which that particular drama and the story unfolds. The name of this drama is The Bitter Truth. The story behind this drama is the protagonist, the main person, he goes to a guru and tells, my entire family loves me. And the guru tells, don't believe like that. It is not so true. It is all just worldly love. There is no truth in your family loving you. Believe this. The disciple does not want to believe. The guru then, according to the story, gives a small tablet and tells to the shishya, once you go home, just take this tablet. Within a short time, there will be some foaming from your mouth and it will look that you are dead. For everyone, it will look that you are dead. But actually, you won't be dead. And come to know the real truth, the bitter truth. So, after some time, that once he goes and falls dead, the Guruji would come and he would tell all the family members, the father, the mother, the grandfather and the younger brother, would tell, I don't mind reviving him, but at least one of you must sacrifice your life. Then I will take your life and I will revive this one. Until then, all the people would cry, telling that, why did you take him? You could have taken my life instead. everybody would back out one after another, telling that, no, how can I do that? And the Guruji then will revive this boy and tell that this is the bitter truth. The interesting thing is, the protagonist's role is very nice, because first scene, he would come for 2-3 minutes, and then the Guruji would give him a tablet. He has to go and take the tablet. The next 15 to 20 minutes, his only role is to sleep. Nothing else. Because he is supposed to be acting as dead. Only role is to sleep. And then in the last 2 minutes, the Guruji would again awaken him, and then he will be told the truth. But of course, he is the main person in that entire drama. So, two of us who are again doing PhD went for that particular role. One role was the protagonist, and the other role was his younger brother. This role of the protagonist or the younger brother could have come to any one of us. It was decided that my little senior would be done the main protagonist's role, and I would get the younger brother's role. The younger brother's role has much more acting compared to the protagonist's role, whose main acting in that entire drama is 15 minutes of sleeping. So, the drama started. The protagonist falls, and I had practiced, of course, for the drama very well. And I just go, and as per the drama, I'm supposed to be doing some medical course, so I check his pulse, it is not there, and I immediately start crying, "Elder brother, you were what supporting me for my entire medical education. Why did God do such a thing? He could have taken me away and kept you alive," and all such lot of crying would take place. And then the Guruji would come. And then at one point of time, after the mother and the father back out, I'm still crying. Suddenly the Guruji would see me. And at that moment, from the crying, I had to immediately realize the truth and then become more conscious. How can I sacrifice my life for my brother? I have to study medicine. I have to become a big doctor. I have to take care of my parents. How can I sacrifice my life? My entire action had to change. The drama went off very successfully. Swami blessed all of us. But most importantly, the beautiful thing was, all the nice comments about the drama came to the main protagonist, because he was the hero of the drama. And what was his main role in the drama? 15 minutes sleeping. He was told, excellent acting, 15 minutes sleeping, excellent, everything came out very well. I did not worry, after all, mine was only a side role. But the beautiful, unusual blessings is that we may think that we are doing a side role. For Swami, there is nothing called as a side role or a main role. Each and every one of us are equally important in his divine drama. We think mine is some small role, somebody else's is some big role. So, what is there? For Swami, each and every one of our roles are extremely, extremely important and valuable. The next day, we were all seated for darshan. Swami came near me and then very beautifully and very nicely blessed me in this way by telling in Telugu, "Nanna, yesterday, Nanna, nu baga edchavra, you cried very well in the drama." See the beauty of it. Our duty was to do our role. And when we do our role with that passion and that sincerity, however big it is or however small it is, that is what pleases Swami ultimately. So, a very beautiful lesson for all of us is that let us not just assume that I am a small part of this big organization. Activities are going on in 180 plus countries, 120 plus countries. What will happen whether I do or not do? It's not that at all. The question is not that at all. Whatever we do, could be a small thing. I participate in one Narayan Seva. I come for a bhajan mandali and sing one bhajan. I chant Vedam in one particular session. I am a part of a Bal Vikas session. I am involved in one study circle. Each and every one of these roles are main roles for Swami, as long as we do it with that dedication, sincerity and passion. Swami will take care of this. Let me just end my speech with this very interesting incident again, with how Swami in the year 2014 blessed me in very, very unusual manner, which led to something very interesting. In the year 2014, I was told by the university administration that during the summer vacations of 2013-14 academic year, I should be ready to go to the United States to go and talk to the samitis there for close to more than a month, around 35 days or so. So I was ready. However, I was ready to go and talk to the samitis, but I did not until then think that I would be having to do all these things. I never had even made a passport or a visa, nothing of that type. So in December 2013, went for making a passport, and the procedure went off well, and I was informed by the authorities that we all know that into January the sports meet is held. Immediately after the sports meet, I would get my passport. So I was thinking that it's after all a very simple procedure, so I would get my passport. The entire month of January passed, passport did not come. February passed, the passport was still not there. I asked, what is the problem? And somebody told, read this particular news item in the newspaper. And there was one interesting surprise for me. The news item read, the passport officers across India have stopped issuing passports. For what? Extremely silliest reason ever possible. The silliest reason is that the passport books all have got exhausted. Until new passport books are printed, they are not going to issue any passports. Okay, passport books after all can be printed, is no big deal. And the passport books, we all know, is printed exactly in the same press where the currency notes are printed, because it is the government of India's property. The government of India has decided to print new currency notes, and therefore new passport booklets are not going to be printed soon. So no passports are going to be issued soon. The entire month of March was about to get over, and I did not get my passport. Towards the end of the month of March, I got my passport, because at that time possibly they decided that let them issue some, print some passport books, and my passport came. In the meanwhile, see the beauty of it, in the meanwhile we had gone to Shivaratri, myself and one more teacher. We had been assigned to go to the US to go and talk in various samitis. So the other teacher came and asked me, what about yours? Have you got your visa? Is it ready? I told, my passport itself has not come. Where is the case of US visa? He told, let me tell you one secret now. Ensure that you do this way, things will happen. I asked, what is it? When you go for the US visa, please never mention that you are going to the US to give talks about Swami in various samitis. I asked why. The US government is extremely strict in all these areas. They feel talking about Swami is like some religious preaching. They don't want such things to happen. And that particular teacher told me, last week I had gone to Hyderabad. They asked me, why are you going to the United States? And very honestly I told, I am going to the United States to talk about Swami. They asked, what is the competence that you have to talk about Swami? They rejected my visa. The moment the US visa gets rejected, to get it back once again is going to be a very, very difficult process. He told, don't tell like that. Just tell that you are going for a tourist purposes, and then no problem. Once you get the tourist visa, then automatically you can do. Swami delayed my passport until I got an opportunity to talk to this sir. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done. I also would have gone and told, because the university gave me a letter. You can actually go and submit this letter that you have been assigned to go and talk about Bhagavan in various samitis. I would have very happily taken that letter, and possibly my visa also would have got rejected. Swami ensured that the passport itself did not come for sufficient time, so that I knew what had to be done. And then the passport later came, and then I applied. I just told that I am going for meeting my friends there. And then immediately, without any further question, the visa was issued. It was a 10-year valid tourist visa, was just like that issued without any questions further asked. It was Swami's blessings that I did go to the US and I could talk in more than 30 plus samitis in different places of the US. And it was a very, very great blessing for me. What I would like to end with, and this is where I would like to see all the very beautiful, interesting stories that I have had. Swami tells this in a very nice way. If you pray something to Swami, Swami tells, if you pray and ask me something, I tell yes and give what you want. Sometimes I don't tell yes. I tell wait and give something better. But the most interesting thing Swami tells, so let me once again tell, if you ask for something, Swami tells, I tell yes and give what you want. I tell wait and give something better. But the best thing is, Swami tells, I tell no and give you the very best. It is that when that master plan works, when things don't happen according to what we think should happen, be sure it is that divine hand which is making things happen, and it will happen in the best possible way. It will happen in that master planner's way, which will ensure that we will ultimately get the very best. And Swami would make us so much mature that we will understand that whatever is happening is ultimately happening for our best. Nothing less than the best can happen to us. This is the unusual blessing that Swami has given me. There are many more stories that I can narrate, but for the paucity of time, I'd just like to end with this prayer to Bhagavan. Bhagavan, give us all the blessings so that we realize that you are the true hand behind everything that is happening, so that we realize that whatever role that we play in your grand mission, whatever it is, be small or big, let us do it with passion and sincerity, so that we take part in your grand mission of samasta loka sukhino bhavantu om shanti shanti shanti. Jai Sai Ram. Thank you.